This morning we are taking a break from the Gospel of Luke. Lord willing, next week and the week after that, we will finish sermon number 99 and sermon number 100 on the Gospel of Luke and conclude our time in the Gospel of Luke. This morning, we have a guest speaker with us. About a year ago, I began a process of some study, and I sat down in a class not knowing anybody, and as they often make you do, you have to walk around, you got to explain who you are and introduce yourself. The person before me, sitting next to me, introduced himself as Achun, and he said his name was bigger than that, but just call him Achun. I still have yet to get the whole bigger name. And he said he was from India. Here in the States, God provided an opportunity to come and train, and Lord willing, head back to India to train pastors for preaching. I know of two people in India. And so I thought, with 1.4 billion people in India, and I knowing two, there's probably a good chance we knew some of the same people. And so at the first break, I leaned over and I said, do you know Dr. P.D. Charyon? Dr. P.D. Charyon is a president of South India Baptist College. And Achun's face lit up. I thought he was going to bear hug me. And he says, yes, I have worked at his seminary, his college. Now, one out of 1.4 billion is a pretty good, I thought I can keep going. Well, then do you know Dr. Sambhu Day? Church family who's been a part of our church for any while time, you know Sambhu Day is one of our longtime gospel partners. He has planted and established a college in India for the training of pastors. And Achun said, I am one individual who graduated from his college. At that moment, I said, I would love to have Achun come. We have invested into India through Dr. Day's ministry for years. And sometimes as we invest, as we pray, as we put money in an offering plate, as we connect, we don't always get the benefit of seeing in front of us what God does with that. And so very simply, this morning is our opportunity to see a tangible testimony of how God take a fraction of our investment and multiplies it out through the ministry of Achun. Achun's burden, he's already ministered, planted a couple churches in India, worked on a college campus with students, worked in an orphanage in India, is burdened to head back, Lord willing, when our classes are done, to continue to minister the gospel. And I hope we are encouraged in seeing what God is doing in his creation with his church for his glory through the ministry of Achun. Brother, come bring the word.
Good morning. I'm honored to be here and testify what God has done in my life through you, the First Baptist Church, who being a faithful in the Lord, supporting the Dr. Day's ministry. And I'm really thankful to God that I'm able to come and see you. You do not see me and you do not know me, but you support it and you put your offering. And many of us, like me, graduated from that college and doing missionaries, pastors, evangelists, and so on and so forth. I'm thankful to the Lord. And also I'm thankful to our pastor that who gave me a chance to stand here and share the gospel. I'm really thankful for the friendship that we had in a couple of months and year. And also Pastor Caleb for giving me a good hospitality to stay in his home. And we had a good time together last night. My name is Achun Pao Panmay. It's a long name, but people call me Achun. And my wife, Anning, all start with A. My first son is Albert. And my second son is Alan. So we are 4A in the family. So that's easy to remember us. And we've been married to 12 years. And we are living in Louisville, 2019, November 12, we came to Louisville. And we start our doctoral program in the expository preaching. I would like to share a little bit about my life testimony. I was born in a non-Christian parents. While I was 2 years old, my parents come to know the Lord. And I grew up in a very nominal Christian environment. I do not know the Lord for many years. In 1996, I came to know the Lord. And the same year, I took water baptism as an obedience to the commandment. But I was not very sure about my salvation. I was not secure on other ways. I'm not as sure of my salvation until 2002, I came to South India, Dr. Day's College. And in the month of June, my professors and Dr. Day's was preaching about salvation and the security of salvation. And then I was very much assured that I'm a born-again Christian. I'm secure in the hands of the Lord. No way that I can lost my salvation. And I studied there for 7 years. I worked with Dr. Day as a warden, as a student, as a leader on the campus. And I was helping for studying and helping for 7 years. And 2009, Lord allowed me to graduate my master, and I stepped out from the campus and start doing ministry, a full-time ministry in South India. I and my wife newly wedded, and start 2009, June, we start our ministry in South India before I came to Dr. Cherian's college. And since then, I work with Dr. Cherian 2019, November 1st week. And then I came to Louisville. And today, I just want to encourage each one of you that your faithfulness towards the gospel is not in vain. It's not empty. Because there are many students there who pay a little amount. I study there less than $5-6 in a month I pay. And I graduated. I studied there for 7 years with that little amount. Likewise, there are many others that who studied in that college without paying nothing. And they are serving the Lord in different parts of India. And also doing missionaries and pastoring and church planting and so on and so forth. And today I would like to encourage, along with that, your faithfulness to be continued in the Lord. Because God promised that He is going to come back and to reward you. So for that, I would like you to open with me from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 58, just one verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's look to God and pray. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given to me. Lord, I am weak and fragile. I need your strength. I need you to stand with me as I speak your word. Give me the clarity of thoughts. Help me to explain the truth so that the people who are here listening may benefit it and encourage through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We know that Corinthian church went through all kind of problems that you can number it. From the biggest to the smallest. And in this passage, we know that they were having confusion about the bodily resurrection of Christ. And there are false teachers like Sadducees, or maybe Greek philosophers who are saying that, oh, Jesus died, but he did not rise again from the dead. Why are you believe on that gospel? You are not going to see the resurrection of Christ, or you are not going to resurrect after you die from this earth. Believers are not going to resurrect again from the dead. This kind of confusion was spreading around the Corinthian church. And they were confused whether to believe it or to accept it. They were sort of confusion going on in that church. And Paul, he was encouraging to the believers, saying that Jesus rise again from the dead. The first chapter, chapter number 15, first verse, we see that he was defining what is gospel all about. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He was giving the definition. The same gospel saved my life. The same gospel gave me a new perspective, new hope, new foundation in my life. And at the same gospel, I'm preaching to you. And he rose again from the dead. Not only Jesus, but you believers in Christ, you are going to resurrect again when he returned back to receive you. That's a good news. He was preaching, encouraging to the believers. And when we look at that day, in the preceding verse says that day, there is no power over sin. He said, that day, what he said, so when his corruptible shall have to put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallow up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of his sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continued that, for this reason, therefore, he connects with the preceding verse and the following verse. Paul wants to encourage that you have to be faithful in the gospel of Christ, because he is going to come back. Because you are going to resurrect again from the dead. The dead will rise, and he is going to come back. You need to continue to be faithful in that. And the first we see here, be firm in the foundation of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable. Continue to be faithful without wavering of faith. The worldly philosophers will bring a lot of philosophies. They will tell many things about that. Do not worry about that. Do not listen to those philosophers. Stick to the gospel that you believe. Stand firm on that. Hold on to the gospel. Be firm like a rock, like a pillars in the house. Stick to that gospel without wavering of faith. Because he is alive. He is coming back to receive all the believers. That gospel, you need to hold on it. That gospel is the foundation of our hope. That gospel is the hope of our preaching, our faith. Lay your foundation on that gospel of Christ. Do not listen to those false teachers. This morning I woke up and I just read an article that being widely spread in India, especially the northeastern part of India, the state called Nagaland. The biggest Baptist association in the world is Nagaland. From there, they are saying that COVID vaccine will take away one's salvation. If you take vaccine, you will go to hell. When I read that, I was thinking what the world is doing today. They say that some of the prayer warrior, so-called visioners, prophetic message, they are prophesying that if you take this vaccine, you'll go to hellfire. Which is very much contrary to the gospel. These kind of messages, these kind of false teachers will come in the lives of the believers. Paul is saying that, do not listen to that kind of messages. Lay your foundation in Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the foundation for our beliefs, for life, to practice it. That's what he said, without any changing of mind. Paul was giving his testimony like, I was a persecutor. I was killing the Christians. I hate Christians and I was killing them. But the same Jesus that who died and rose again on the third day, he encountered me on the way to Damascus. The same Jesus spoke to me. The same Jesus commanded me to do the gospel work. And the same gospel I'm preaching to you. The same Jesus is going to come back. Hold on to that gospel. Nothing else. Hold on to that gospel. That gospel only can build you up. If you miss that gospel, you miss your life. That is the only gospel. Jesus Christ clearly said he is going to come back. He went ahead to prepare a place for us to receive each one of us who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus clearly said that I am going there to prepare a place to come back. And he also says that don't build your house on the sand. Build your house on the rock. When the storm comes, you will not be able to stand if you build your house on the sand. It will fall away. You have no foundation. But if you build your life, if you build your life on Jesus, you will stand still in the storm. And he also says that, look unto Jesus. He is the beginner. He will start and he will finish. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Who starts and who ends? That is Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on to that. Nothing else. And we look at in the 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 12 also says that. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know that whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that day which I committed unto him against that day. Paul is continuing to say that the same gospel I am preaching. I know that whom I believe. I have 100% sure that my Savior is able to keep even when the temptation comes in my life. Because I lay my foundation on him and him alone. Faithfulness to gospel is not only just stable in our faith and doing nothing. It's not what Paul said. He continued to say in the second part of the verse, always abounding in the works of the Lord. The faithfulness also encourages us to do more for the gospel of Christ. That is what you are doing. The First Baptist Church is doing. You have put your offering. You have sent out that money to the mission field, to India and other parts of the world. That is multiplying the gospel. Paul says, continue to do that. Abounding in the works of the Lord. We continue to work and work and work. It is not one-time act. It has to be continued until he comes back. Because we do not know that when he's going to come back. We have no idea when he's going to come back. But he says, continue to that work. Because his promise is always true. He continued to keep his promise. That's what he said, abounding in the works of the Lord. It is not the work that you are doing for our livelihood, but he's saying that the works of the Lord. When he comes back, he's not going to ask that how much degree that you earn when you are alive. He's not going to ask that how many properties that you have it. He's not going to ask that how much you have bank balance. I'm not against that, neither Paul. But Paul is saying that that's all good. But put your lever in the field, in the gospel. Continue to do the good work because he wants the gospel to spread out to the entire world. He doesn't want people to perish and go to hell. We are responsible for that people. Gospel is always urgent because people are perishing every day. Who is responsible for those people? You and I are responsible for that. You may say, oh, I'm all enough, I cannot do anything. The mission of God is not limited by time and space. Anything that you are doing for the Lord, that is a mission. Maybe encouraging to others, praying for others, helping others. If you are gifted with singing, praising God, praying for others, this is all a part of the ministry. It is not only standing and preaching gospel is a ministry. Ministry is very broad. We can do a lot in the church family. You can encourage one another. Visit one's house and pray for one another. This is all a part of the ministry. And giving out is also one of the ministry. So these all are packaged in the gospel work. It's a team work. Paul is saying that abounding, continue to work hard because he is going to come back. And he also says that and Jesus said to his disciple, when you continue to work and do good things, one day Jesus is going to give a commendation. Well done, thou faithful servant. I know for sure that every one of us like appreciation from somebody else. If somebody is giving something and say, oh, thank you so much, that encourages to do more good things. If you receive something from some of your friends and say, okay, then you wouldn't be able to think about to give back, or you will not be happy about it, right? Everybody wants appreciation. And God is going to give an appreciation when he comes back. He said, continue to do all these things. Because what we have done for our life, that we cannot carry when he comes back. That's what Job said. I came with naked. I'll go as naked. The Lord blessed and the Lord took it back. That's what he said at the end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The property, the bank balance, all what we have, when you die and when I die, that will remain. You cannot take it, anything. But you can invest. I can invest my time, my energy, my money for the mission. Because when he comes back, he will say, thou faithful servant, you have done a great thing for me, for the kingdom of God. That commendation, we are waiting for it. And 1 Timothy chapter number 2, 11 and 12 say, for if we be dead with him, we shall alive with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If you suffer for him, you are going to reign with him. You are going to be with him. That's what Paul is encouraging to Timothy. The same way, today, the labor that you have invested, the money that you have invested, is not in vain in the Lord. Continue to do the good work. God is going to give a commendation. Thou faithful servant. First Baptist Church being a great help to many churches. That's what God is going to pronounce it. Let us not be weary and faint. That's what 1 Thessalonians says that. When you are doing good, do not weary and faint. Continue. Continue to do the good works. Because he is going to give the commendation. And Jesus looked at the people and said, oh, harvest is plenteous, but laborers are few. Who is to go to that field for harvest? You and I. You and I are the responsible person to go to the field. The third, what I see here is that the third part of the verse says that, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the most encouraging part of the verse. As soon as I came to Louisville and I found a job, to do in the Legacy Hotel and on campus. And in the month of 2020, February and March, our supervisor said, you are going to do a deep cleaning, all the rooms, because this is the right time, because no customer, and then the hotels are empty, and this is time for us to all the rooms, okay? Then we were thinking, oh, deep cleaning is a hard work because we have to move out all the furniture and we have to do all kind of cleaning. But he said, I'm paying $10 per hour, but for deep cleaning, I'm going to pay $15 per hour. Wow! That energizes us. Our teams will look at each other. Yes, we will do it. You know, because our labor is not vent. Our labor is going to be awarded with another $5 in an hour. What an encouragement. Paul is saying here, saying that your labor in the Lord is not making empty. He is recorded every good thing that you have done for the mission. God is recorded and He is going to give that reward. What an encouraging statement. Whatever you are doing and whatever I am doing for the gospel is recorded. God is mindful about what you are doing for the mission. God is looking at you and I and saying, yes, this is what I want you to do it. And this is what I want you to continue with. God is looking at and happy about the work that you and I are doing. That's what Paul is saying, that continue to do that. Because your labor is not in vain. The testimony that I'm standing is one of your labor. Likewise, there are many in the field. That is your labor. That is your investment in the Lord, in the mission. If American churches were not supported, I do not know where I would be. The expense for the education, I was not able to pay. I came to Dr. Day, I say, I have no money, but I want to study. I want to serve the Lord. And He make a provision for me to study. I pay 300 rupee, which is like less than a $10, maybe $5 to $6 per month. That is including my tuition, my hostel fee, my food, everything per month, $5. Can you think about it? What $5 can do it here? That is your labor. You are doing for the Lord. And God, in His way, brought me here to say that testimony in front of you, standing here, and say, this is the fruit of First Baptist Church. For that, God is going to reward you. For that faithful work, God is going to pronounce that, thou faithful servant, faithful believers. That's what Paul is telling. You Corinthian believers, do not listen to those false teaching. Believe on what I say. The same gospel that I was saved. The same gospel that I am preaching. And I am persecutor, but today people persecute me. I am taking my life in risks, sharing that gospel because I know whom I believe. That's what Paul is saying to his believers. The same way today, the message is to us. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God knows every details of your work. And we find that in the book of Revelation. He said, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to every man according as his work shall be. It is individual. It is not just a whole. God is saying that, or Jesus is saying that, I am going to give according to. is an individual. Your investment, your labor in the Lord, it is not your father is doing good thing and you are going to get a reward. No. It is not your father or mother is doing good and you are going to receive. No. It is your individual work Christ is going to give according to that. He said, you have done and I'm going to give you. I'm going to pronounce in front of all the peoples, all the tribes, all the community. You are faithful in the ministry of God and I'm going to give you a reward for your labor. He is going to come back. He's a faithful God. He keeps his promise. And he is going to come back. What a day that will be for believers. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we find that. He is going to come back and that will rise first. And he is going to come and receive the church. You and I are going to be with the Lord. That's a hope. With that hope, Paul is saying, continue to do the good work. And remember that he is going to reward your labor. He is going to give you the reward on that day. We see that in the Bible, there are five crowns that mentioned it, in the New Testament especially. They are imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. One of the crowns is going to be yours because of your faithfulness in the Lord. That crown is the reward of all what you have done on the earth before he comes back. That crown, we are waiting for it. That crown, we are going to stand before thousands of people and you are going to receive from the Lord. That's a great commendation from the Lord. Let us be encouraged to continue the gospel mission. Reach out to the people, sharing the good news with the people, because your labor and my labor in the Lord is not in vain. He is counting, recording every detail of your good work to give you on that day. God is a faithful God. I experienced in my ministry. I went through a lot of problems in my ministry. But God never forsake. God never leave me alone. He continued to provide. When I started my ministry in 2009, after my graduation in South India, one of the school, it's the state called Andhra Pradesh. When I started there, we were just getting less than $45 a month. And I was newly wedded and then having a lot of hope and a lot of vision, and we went through a lot of problems. There was a time that we have no food to eat. I have to depend on somebody else to bring food for us. There was a time that no gas to cook. And we have to go out and collect a firewood. And then we cook. We went through a lot of problems. And the same year in 2010, in the summer, we decided not to go home because we have no money to travel. And we asked our director or principal of the school, and he said, in summer, I don't pay salary. If you want to stay, you can stay. But I won't pay for it. So, my wife was caring for the first baby 4 months. And it is not good to travel a 1 week journey. You know, from Andhra Pradesh to go to my hometown, it's a 6 days journey. 4 days train, 2 days bus. It's a hills and mountains, ups and downs, a lot of, you know, bad road that we are going to experience it. And we thought, okay, we will not go. Whether we have money or not, we will stay back. on the campus, 6-acre campus, only two of us, my wife and I, nobody else, in a very strange land. In that time, we went for the checkup, a normal checkup for my wife, and the doctor has given a due date to come back after 6 months completed for the first scanning to see our baby. And we do not have even one single piece on our hand. Because, first of all, we don't have food to eat, gas to cook. And then, one evening, we were sitting in front of the door and thinking what to do, because the due date is just one day left. And we were not thinking anything else. We thought we may not go for the treatment. And we were sitting and thinking about, and an unknown person who worked in that school, he came to give a wedding invitation card. Then we were thinking, okay, here's a man coming, what he's going to say, you know. Then he came and said, "Sir, I want you to come for my wedding, and this is my wedding card." So we reluctantly say, okay, we will take it, and then we know that we don't have money to go for it. So we just sat there, and we just thought about, okay, let's open and see the envelope. And we tore the envelope and then remove it, and we saw the invitation card, the wedding card, along with that, 1,000 naught. 1,000 rupee naught were there in the card. When I see that, when I opened it and when I saw that, I could not control my tears. I look at my wife. My wife was shedding tears. And with overwhelming joy, and we start crying and praising God. What a faithful God that we are serving. What a faithful God that we are serving. He never forsakes His servant. He never leaves us alone. I have never ever seen someone going to the wedding or giving an invitation card and giving money. Rather, in our culture, we go to that person and we give money for the wedding ceremony. But which is contradict. God can make it things possible. We think that everything is impossible, but everything is possible with God. And that God we are serving today. Let us be encouraged. God will provide your need. Do not think about what you have and what you don't have. If you have a heart for the Lord, God will surely bless His blessing. God did not lack any money. God needs you. God needs me for His mission to accomplish. Let's look to God and pray. God, we thank You so much for the word of encouragement. We know that You are living God. You are still alive. And we are blessed to have You as our God, our Savior, who is able to keep us from all temptation, who is able to provide all our needs. Lord, it is my prayer that may this be a great encouragement for the First Baptist Church, who being faithful in Your ministry, helping the poor people, helping the mission work, may Your continuous blessing befall on them and help them to be faithful until You come back, Lord. May You bless all of us together. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen. Thank you once again. God bless all of you.